As I think back on it now, it's still difficult to believe that it happened, that I really sat in that long room with a glass and a cigar, while that cold, masterful man who was to be the greatest statesman of his age outlined to me the amazing plan which was to be the first small stepping stone in his great career. It was mad, incredible nonsense, but it is true. Bismarck then was nothing, in the political sense anyway. But he had dreamed his dreams, as Lola had told me years before, and now he was setting about in that cold German certainty to make them realities. Strange, isn't it, that without me he could not have begun as he did? He needed the lecherous, brutal ruffian. An incomplete description, but Bismarck always was a great one for half-truths. "Let me begin by asking you a question," says he. "What do you know of Schleswig and Holstein?"
"Never even met him," says I.
Rudy laughed aloud, and Goethe gave his sidelong smile. Bismarck didn't show any amusement.
"They are states," he said, "not persons. I shall tell you about them."
And he began to explain what historians call the Schleswig-Holstein question. I won't bore you with it here, because even diplomats agree that it is the most infernally complex affair that ever bedeviled European politics. Nobody's ever got to the bottom of it. Indeed, Palmerston once said that only three people understood it. One was Pam himself, and he'd forgotten it. Another was a famous statesman, and he was dead. And the third was a German professor, and he'd gone mad thinking about it, so there. But the nub was that the two states which lay directly between Denmark and the German Confederacy were nominally ruled by the King of Denmark, although most of the inhabitants were Germans. Both Germany and Denmark claimed Schleswig and Holstein, and the people living there were forever arguing about who they should belong to. That, then, was the famous question, and of course Bismarck knew the answer. "It is beyond dispute," says he, "that these two states are German by right. It has become of the first import that they should be German in fact." I couldn't see what the devil this had to do with me, and said so. "Be silent and listen," he snarled. "You will see very soon. Now, answer me. In the intervals between your drinking and whoring and hunting, do you take any interest in politics?"
"Well, I'm a Tory, I suppose. Haven't ever bothered to vote, mind you. Why?"
"Gerechter Herrgott," says he. "This gentleman," he glanced at the others, "is a specimen of the ruling caste of the most powerful country on earth. For the present. Incredible, is it not?